Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you want the essential context, maybe the surprising details you need for complex topics, well, you're in the right place. Look, if you track the economy, or maybe you're just trying to find a place you can afford, you know, the housing affordability crisis is, well, it's never felt quite this bad. Traditional approaches, they seem to be buckling under, you know, runaway material costs, labor shortages, slow local approvals. Today, we're zeroing in on a really big shift that our source material documents. It's this recognition that the crisis, it demands industrial scale solutions. We're deep diving into one specific piece of intelligence we found that, honestly, it changes how you should look at one housing segment in particular. Hmm. The core finding we extracted is pretty definitive.
Yeah, it is. Manufactured homes have decisively emerged as key element in affordable housing efforts.
Okay, let's unpack this. That sentence, simple as it sounds, has huge implications. Policy, investment, planning, the works. So our mission for you listening in is to really get what this emergence means, why this specific type of housing is suddenly essential right now, and what makes it a key element instead of just, I don't know, another option on the table.
Well, that phrase, it's a game changer because it moves the whole conversation beyond just, oh, here's another alternative. It suggests that without manufactured housing, hitting affordable housing goals, it's pretty much unreachable in a lot of places. What's fascinating here is that this emergence, it isn't some accident. It's really driven by realizing we have two massive problems, speed and cost.
Let's stick with that word emergence because it implies this huge psychological shift, right? Yeah. An institutional one too. For decades, manufactured housing, it had this association, the stigma even, lower income communities, restrictive zoning. Mm-hmm. This emergence feels like policymakers, big developers, they finally stopped seeing it as just this niche thing off to the side.
Exactly. And to grasp that shift, you have to understand the technical piece first. We're talking modern homes built to the National HUD Code.
Right, the federal standard.
Yeah, that ensures they meet standards for structure, fire safety, energy efficiency, nationwide. Mm. It's fundamentally different from a site-built home only because it's built in a factory.
Oh, okay.
And that factory environment, that's what gives you the speed and the cost stability that, frankly, traditional stick-built construction just can't touch when you're trying to scale up.
You mentioned scale. Let's try an analogy. For years, maybe this housing was like a side street, you know, a little dirt road you took if you couldn't afford the main highway.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Now, the main highway is just permanently gridlocked. And policy is suddenly realizing that side street, it's actually like a parallel high-speed rail line industrialized.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
It's gone from being a niche workaround to being seen as like critical housing infrastructure.
And that necessity, that's exactly what drove the status shift. To be a key element, it has to be woven into major policy, finance, planning strategies. It can't just be an afterthought.
So let's dig into the other part of that finding. Affordable housing efforts. What are the actual goals here? What are we measuring? Are we talking about like getting supply that's maybe 30, 40% cheaper than the nearest stick-built house?
That's a big part of it, yes. Lower entry price points are crucial.
And getting units delivered in months, not years, reducing how much income families shell out for housing.
Exactly. Those are the metrics. And this is where manufactured housing really starts to shine as a key element. But maybe the most critical technical detail underpinning this whole emergence, it's finance.
Ah, finance. Okay.
Historically, these homes were often financed with chattel loans.
Meaning they were treated like personal property, like an RV or a boat, legally speaking.
Precisely. Even if it was permanently fixed to the ground. And chattel finance means higher interest rates, shorter loan terms, and here's the kicker, rapid depreciation.
Ouch. So the house is treated like a vehicle, depreciates like one, even if the land underneath it is going up in value.
You got it. That's the fundamental flaw that always scared off serious investors and, frankly, trapped homeowners. They couldn't build equity.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's changed now to make it a key element?
The big push we're seeing now from government, from lenders, is to shift this housing onto real property mortgages.
Okay. Treat it like traditional real estate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Finance the home with the land under one title. That brings stability, lower interest rates, longer terms like 30 years, and crucially, the chance to build real equity.
Hmm.
A lot of policy effort now is laser focused on knocking down the regulatory hurdles so these homes qualify for conventional financing.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting then. This isn't just about making the homes a bit cheaper up front.
No, it's much bigger than that.
It's about making them a viable asset, something that appreciates, helps low and moderate income families build wealth just like a traditional home is supposed to.
That's the goal. If manufactured housing can achieve stable or even appreciating valuation, that solves a massive piece of the affordability puzzle right there.
Wow.
And it solves the speed puzzle too. If we connect this to the bigger picture, think about the factory production advantage. It means predictability. Developers can deliver units maybe 30, even 50% faster than traditional methods. Less risk from weather delays, local labor shortages.
Right.
When the goal is large-scale relief delivered quickly, that speed advantage, it becomes absolutely essential.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate. Doesn't factory-built still scream, I don't know, lower quality or temporary to the average person? Or maybe more importantly, to local politicians? Even if the financing is getting fixed,
yeah,
that perception problem feels like a huge roadblock to really integrating these homes.
It is a hurdle, no doubt. But it's one that's being actively pushed back against with higher-end designs coming out, new policy frameworks. Look, the fact that the federal government, major nonprofits, even big private equity firms are increasingly relying on factory-built methods to close that affordability gap. It suggests they're making a big bet that the sheer economics and the efficiency gains will eventually win out over those outdated stereotypes. The synthesis here is pretty clear. Governments, developers, they're relying on manufactured housing not just as some kind of supplement,
right,
but as an integral component of their housing supply chain. Why?
Right.
Because traditional construction simply costs too much and takes way too long for the scale of the problem we have.
And so if you, the listener, are tracking investment or planning or what your city council is up to, this reliance, that's the marker you should be following. Because if this solution is now integral, you'd expect regulatory easing, public funding.
Right. That's your follow, right?
That's the logical next step. But let's not paint too rosy a picture. The path isn't totally clear, is it? If manufactured housing is now strategically necessary, what's the single biggest policy barrier still standing in the way? What could derail this whole thing?
This raises an important question, and it's almost always zoning.
Ah, zoning, of course.
Even if you have great financing options, high-quality construction, if local towns can just ban manufactured homes outright or stick them only in peripheral land lease communities, parks,
then the benefits are capped, severely limited.
Exactly. This is often where local politics, you know, clashes head on with the need for scalable housing solutions.
We've definitely seen that play out, that tension between local control, often driven by, let's be honest, existing homeowners resisting change, the whole NMBY thing.
Right. Not in my backyard.
Versus the state level recognizing, hey, this housing crisis is regional, maybe even national. Are we seeing policies start to push back against that local resistance?
Absolutely. The trend is definitely moving towards state preemption laws.
Meaning the state steps in?
Yeah, where state legislatures basically override local zoning if it's clearly discriminatory against factory-built housing meeting the federal code. Plus, the policy focus is shifting towards integration. Not just seeing these as replacements for big single-family homes out on the edge of town, but thinking about them as innovative solutions like, say, accessory dwelling units, ADUs, backyard cottages.
Ah, so placing them efficiently within existing neighborhoods.
Right. The goal now isn't just creating isolated manufactured home parks anymore. It's making the housing genuinely indistinguishable from site-built homes.
In terms of zoning rules, how it looks, its long-term value.
All of it. And that integration effort, it means tackling not just the building type, but density rules, appearance standards, and crucially, the land ownership structure, making sure fee simple ownership where you own the house and the land is the norm, not the exception.
That feels like a really powerful shift in focus. Okay, so we've confirmed the financial side is changing. The speed advantage is clear. Now we understand the big battleground is zoning and integration. Manufactured housing is integral now, not peripheral, driven by the sheer scale of the crisis, a necessity.
And that means the whole focus shifts away from just proving viability. That's kind of settled. The discussion now is all about deployment. How do we optimize production? Ensure quality control is rock solid? How do we rigorously pursue that long-term stable valuation for homeowners?
Right.
The success of these affordable housing efforts really hinges on removing the policy friction points around this industrial solution.
Okay. So what does this all mean for the future of housing? We've established factory-built homes are key for affordability, especially in, say, lower or medium-density areas. But if we want them to help solve the density problem in big urban centers, you know, where land is super scarce, you have to build up...
Yeah, vertical construction.
What are the next barriers, technological logisticals, that need to fall for modular and manufactured components to really hit the mainstream in taller buildings?
That's a big one.
That's the question maybe for you to chew on as you track the next phase of this critical market. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into what one key finding tells us about affordable housing's future. Keep exploring.